Devaya. Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya. Namaṁ Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristhaya Bhutale Śrīmate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyachade Shatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So today is Thursday, the 9th of September. We are in Alatra and this is Leela Nanda Das. Hare Krishna. So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 51, Texts 22 to 29, so there's 7 texts and 2 purports, so I'm going to speed up a little bit so we can cover everything. This is the liberation of Muchukunda. When I was a bhakta, now we didn't know who Muchukunda was, but anybody that slept a lot, we called him Muchukunda. Hey, Muchukunda! Like if Muchukunda was something bad, we didn't know how exalted Muchukunda was, you know. Appreciate a little water here. So please read with me, and then the last verse we can read together.
Yavane bhajma samnite bhagavan satvatar shavah atmanam darshayam asha muchukundaya dhimate.
Translation by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. After the Javana was burnt to ashes, the Supreme Lord, chief of the Satvatas, revealed himself to the wise Muchukunda. So Muchukunda here is called wise. What happens is that Kalayavana, he had come to fight with Krishna. He wanted to fight with Krishna. And yet he had sufficient principles that he would not take up any weapons because he saw Krishna passing by and Krishna had no weapons. And then he said, well, then I cannot take up any weapons. I'm going to fight with him without weapons. And then he followed Krishna, and Krishna is so expert that Krishna gave him the sense that you can catch me. So he got really close to Krishna and said, now I'm catching him, and then Krishna speed up. And then again he got closer, now I'm catching him. And again, Krishna goes ahead. And again he tries, and he is in this illusion. That's very much the illusion that we have in this world when we think that we can catch happiness. You know, everybody is thinking that I'm going to catch happiness. And I'm very close. It's just around the corner. I just have to get this degree and this job and marry this wife and then I will be happy. Actually, I have a really nice example. A girl that used to work with me, she comes from a very wealthy family. Now, her grandfather had a garage with over 90 luxury cars, Rolls Royces, Maseratis, and the like. You know? And he was a diamond dealer, and he used to sell diamonds to the Beatles and other celebrities. So she, very wealthy people. But she wanted to become wealthy on her own, not just wealthy from family. Well, she became quite successful, got a big job in one of the major U.S. companies. Last year, she bought a $2.5 million house in San Francisco. Now she got married, had a child, and the husband started getting a little weird and was treating her very badly, called the police on her parents for no reason. And one day he said, we're leaving this house. We're going back to the apartment. And he's very frugal. And we're not going to pay for anybody to come and do the moving. You pack everything. So they moved back. It's a big frustration for her. They moved back to the apartment. A big frustration. So in this world, it's like this. We think that we're very close to get that happiness, and then we don't get it. So So that's Kalayavana's sensation here. He's close to getting Krishna, but he doesn't get Krishna. No. Krishna cannot be captured by force. Now, the Brahma Samhita explains, Brahma Samhita 5:34, Pantastu koti satavatsaratam pragamyo, vayoratapi manaso munipungavana. The great yogis, munipungavana, not known, the yogis that we know today, have seen Manhattan. They go to the yoga school, they practice yoga, then they go outside, they smoke a little bit, then they go back and practice again. Yeah. Then when they leave, they drink some beer, and you know, everything is fine, everything is great. It's Manhattan anyway, so who cares, no? No, not that type of yogi. Munipungavana, very, very great yogis. No, Pantastu Koti, Astu Koti, for a long time, millions of years, they meditate. And what they can get? They can only see the toe, the tip of the toe of the Lord. That's all they can get. Nothing more than that. But Mother Yashoda, that's a whole different story. She can tell Krishna, you shut up, be quiet now, sit down. Been too naughty. She can give him orders. You know, she can tie him up. No. But that's only by love, by devotional service. That is not possible. No. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that he can a devotee can capture him by love. There are many verses where he explains this. Now, Bhakti Mamma Bijanati, just by love one can capture me, by devotion. And he also says, because on the verse it says that the Lord, Supreme Lord, Chief of the Satvatas, revealed himself to the wise Muchukunda. So it's not that Muchukunda conquered him. The Lord revealed himself. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that Tesham evanukampartam aham agena jantamaha nashayami atma bhavasto jnana dipena bhashvataha. That he can reveal himself. Krishna says that, you know, by his inconceivable energy, Prabhupada explains in the purport, Krishna can reveal himself in the heart of his pure devotee. We can see in our own life how we made progress. Now, many of us were born in what we call the karmi families. So it was a major progress to move from that family to the temple, Hare Krishna temple. Now, I remember that on the weekends, I used to sleep until noon. And I would not sleep any further because my mother would not allow. She would say, you've got to wake up. She used to say, this is ignorance to sleep so much. She used to say like this, this is ignorance. And then suddenly, I find myself in the Hare Krishna temple and I have to wake up at 3 o'clock. You know? And that's late. Because some devotees, they were waking up at 2 o'clock. You know? And it was difficult for me to sleep because at night, they were playing all night long Prabhupada singing. You know, somebody had this idea of all night long playing Prabhupada singing, which was very nice. But somebody that comes from outside is a little difficult, you know. So we can see in our own life how we made progress. And even within our lives in the Krishna consciousness movement, many of us can see how we made progress. How we became more detached. So there are many more verses to cover, so I can't talk too much about one verse. Then from verse 23 to 26, Tamalokya ganashyamam pita kaushaya vashasam shri vatsa vakshasam brajat kaustubhena virajitam chaturbhujam rochamanam vajam chachamalaya charuprasam navadanam spuram akarakundalam Prikshaniyam Nrilokasya Shanuragashmtekshanam Apivya Vayasam Mata Mrigendro Daravikramam Praryacham Mahabhudis Tejasa Tasya Dharshita Shamkita Sanakai Raja Durdharsham Ivatejasa. As he gazed at the Lord, King Muchukunda saw that he was dark blue like a cloud, had four arms, and wore a yellow silk garment. On his chest, he bore the Srivatsa mark, and on his neck, the brilliantly glowing Kaustubha gem. Adorned with a Vajayanti garland, the Lord displayed his handsome, peaceful face, which attracts the eyes of all mankind, with its shark-shaped earrings and affectionately smiling glance. This shark-shaped earrings could be a good thing for new fashion, no? The beauty of his youthful form was unexcelled, and he moved with the nobility of an angry lion. The highly intelligent king was overwhelmed by the Lord Defulgence, which showed him to be invincible. Expressing his uncertainty, Muchukunda hesitantly questioned the Lord as follows. This whole scene is surreal. First of all, Muchukunda was sleeping for 4 yugas. That's a lot of sleeping. That's a lot of sleeping. So, and then suddenly, you know, he gets kicked by somebody. He is awakened by somebody kicking him from nowhere, you know. And then he opens his eyes, and the guy is burnt to ashes. So that one is gone in a question of seconds. And then suddenly, everything is all bright and brilliant. And Krishna walks in. And here, this verse, Muchukunda, is basically just scanning Krishna, surveying and thinking. This is thinking in his mind. As he gazed at the Lord, King Muchukunda saw that he was dark, blue like a cloud, had 4 arms. And then in the next verse we're going to see, he said, "Who are you? Where do you come from?" He was like completely bewildered. It's like surreal, almost like a dream. But we know it's not a dream. It's from the page of the Bhagavatam. Purport. It is significant that text 24 states, Chatur Bhujam Rochamanam. The Lord was seeing the beauty of his four-armed form. Throughout this great work, we find Lord Krishna manifesting his various transcendental forms, most prominently the two-armed form of Krishna and the four-armed form of Narayana or Vishnu. Thus, there is no doubt that Krishna and Vishnu are known different, or that Krishna is the original form of the Lord. These things are sometimes misunderstood. But the great acharyas, experts in the spiritual science, have clarified the matter for us. God in his original form is not merely the creator, maintainer, and destroyer, or the punisher of conditioned souls, but rather the infinitely beautiful Godhead, enjoying his own right and in his own abode. This is the form of Krishna, the same Krishna who expands himself into Vishnu forms for the maintenance of our bumbling world. Srila Jiva Goswami mentions that the word Sankita, having some doubt, indicates that Muchukunda was thinking, "Is this indeed the Supreme Lord?" He expresses himself frankly in the following verses. Now it's interesting that King Muchukunda describes Krishna. He's now seeing Krishna and he's thinking in his mind because there's nobody else there to talk to, so he's thinking. And also on the very first verse of this chapter, Kalayavana describes Krishna as well. And there are many similarities. I put side by side both descriptions. There are many similarities, but there are a couple of critical differences. So Kalayavana on that verse says that Krishna has a black-blue complexion. That's number one. And Muchukunda, dark blue like a cloud. And number two, Kalayavana, yellow silk garment, and King Muchukunda wore a yellow silk garment. And number three, upon his chest he bore the mark of Srivatsa, and King Muchukunda on his chest he bore the Srivatsa mark. And number four, Kalayavana, Kaustubha gem adorned his neck. And number four, Muchukunda, on his neck the brilliantly glowing Kaustubha gem. Number five, his four arms were sturdy and long. Okay, that's difference number one. Muchukunda also said he had four arms. But Kalayavana, he was going to fight with Krishna. Yeah, I haven't been in a fight for a long time, but when I was a kid playing soccer, sometimes if we could not get along, we would fight. And I would always look at the other person, his arms and his legs, to see how strong he was before I got into the fight. So Muchukunda is thinking in fighting Krishna, capturing Krishna. And in his description, he says his four arms were sturdy and long. Now, sturdy means very powerful, very strong, muscular. So he saw his arm, wow, this is strong. Yeah. And then the next one, number six, he displayed his ever-joyful, lotus-like face. And number six, from Muchukunda, handsome, beautiful face. And number seven, a pristine smile. And Muchukunda, affectionately smiling face. And number eight, glittering shark-shaped earrings. And number 8, from Muchukunda, shark-shaped earrings. And then number 9 wears a garland of forest flowers. And in Muchukunda, adorned with a Vaijayanti garland. Then, another important thing was that King Muchukunda, when he saw Krishna, he said that, which showed him to be invincible. When he scanned Krishna from head to toe, he concluded that he's invincible. But of course, we know that Kalayavana did not think Krishna was invincible. Otherwise, he would not go chasing Krishna, thinking that he would capture Krishna. No. He actually thought that he was more powerful than Krishna, that he was invincible. It's interesting, this description of God, both by Kalayavana and by King Muchukunda. Because often when you talk to religious people, they say that, nobody knows the face of God. Nobody has seen God. Have you been in this situation? Yeah. It's very common. When you tell them, but how God looks like, nobody has seen God. And actually, Uttama Shloka Prabhu from Toronto, he had found a building in Toronto. I would like to say a little bit about Srila Prabhupada. He found a building in Toronto. And this building was a big church on Avenue Road. Have you been there? It's like a major, beautiful temple. Yeah. When I used to live in Detroit, I used to go there often. Beautiful temple. Very, very good location. A huge building. Perfect for a temple. And there was a Christian organization that used to own the building. It was a church. And they were moving out. And the building was for sale. And the devotees wanted to buy a temple. And the real estate brokers, they were after the devotees saying, look, this is really good. You know how real estate brokers are. We have a few of them here in the community. And I often get calls from them. You know how they are. So they're always calling the devotees. You got to see this building. Let's take a look at this building. So the devotees were very interested in the building. Uttama Shloka came to the U.S. and met Prabhupada. And the devotees introduced him. This is Uttama Shloka from the Toronto Temple. He's the temple president. Excuse me for a moment. And Uttama Shloka said, Prabhupada, we found a very nice building in Toronto. It's a church, a huge temple room, 30 feet ceiling, high ceiling. We can have Brahmachari ashram and this and that, yada, yada. How much are they asking for, Prabhupada? It's $500,000. Wow, that's a lot of money. Why buy anxiety? Why spend so much money and buy anxiety, Prabhupada said. Our business is not to buy anxiety. Our business is to serve Krishna. But how big is the temple room? Prabhupada, is very big. It's huge. It's a huge temple. You put so many people there, Prabhupada. And, but why buy anxiety? You know? So much anxiety. And the only thing you think about is to pay money, collect money, collect money. Just to pay. But it's a good location? Oh, Prabhupada, it's a terrific location. It's really, so many cars drive by. It's a central location. Yeah. But why buy anxiety? You know, so much anxiety in a building like this to maintain and everything. But is there a place for brahmacharis? Oh, yes, Prabhupada. It's a beautiful place for ashram. Okay. Prabhupada, why don't you come to Toronto and see the church? Prabhupada said, maybe I will come. Then, Uttama Shloka went back to Toronto, and Prabhupada went to Philadelphia. And then Prabhupada was going to Toronto, and then was not going, and then was going, and then was not going. Sometimes Prabhupada had this mood. He would say, he's going. Prabhupada is coming. Paint everything and clean everything. Oh, he's not coming anymore. Oh, he's coming. Not coming. Coming, not coming. I remember we heard that Prabhupada was going to Brazil because he was going to Mexico and Venezuela. Next, natural stop would be Brazil. He's coming. Okay, let's paint everything. Let's rent a helicopter. We're going to like a shower of flowers from the helicopter. All kinds of ideas. Oh, he's not coming anymore. He actually never went to Brazil. So there was this thing. Prabhupada is coming, not coming. Finally, Prabhupada decided, I'm going to Toronto. So he arrives. And Uttama Shloka and other devotees, they pick up Srila Prabhupada at the airport. they take him to his apartment, and they had just a regular house on those days and an apartment for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, "So, what about the building?" "Oh, yes, Prabhupada, would you like to see the building?" "Oh, yes, I want to see the building." Okay. So next day they go to see the building, and Uttamashloka is showing, this is the, you know, here is the temple room, and here we're going to do the Brahmachari ashram, and here the kitchen. And then in one place there was a table, and on that table there were some books left over. And there was one Christian guy still in the building. And the cover of the book said, "How God Looks Like." And then Prabhupada told Uttamashloka, "Ask him if we can buy this book." So Uttamashloka went to him and said, "No, you don't need to buy. You can take the book." So they took the book. And then they go back to the temple. And in the car, Prabhupada said, "Read me something. Read me from that book." So he's reading the book, and it's going nowhere. They really don't know what God looks like. And then Prabhupada said, "It's just bluff. They don't know what God looks like." And they really don't know what God looks like. And they don't know so many things, actually. Then they went back. It was late at night, about 10 o'clock, and the devotees were in ecstasy because Prabhupada had spent the entire day with them. And then suddenly, Uttamashloka gets a phone call. "Prabhupada wants to see you. Come to the apartment." So he goes to the apartment. And Prabhupada said, So, you have the plans for that building? You have the blueprints? "Yes." "Do you know where we can put an ashram?" "Yes, Prabhupada, I have everything organized." "How much are they asking?" $500,000. "How much money do you have?" $40,000. So he had $40,000. "Can you get more money? Can you get $60,000 more?" "Oh, maybe, Prabhupada, we can try." "Brahmananda, how much money do we have on the BBT account?" "Prabhupada, we have $200,000-something. "Okay. Give Uttamashloka $200,000. "But Prabhupada, we never gave this much money to anybody buying a building." "No, give them $200,000. "Uttamashloka, do you think they will take $300,000? "Prabhupada, we can try. So go there and offer them $300,000. And tell them that we'll keep Lord Jesus Christ next to Krishna on the altar just to preserve the Christian element. And do you think you can make the payments on the $300,000? And Uttamashloka said, "But Prabhupada, you know, it's a lot of money. You know, why buy anxiety?" And Prabhupada, you know, hit his fist on the table and said, "We must buy anxiety. We must buy anxiety. If we don't buy anxiety, we're just going to be eating and sleeping, doing nothing. We must buy anxiety for Krishna." So then they bought the building. But I wanted to mention this story not only for the entire pastime, but also because Prabhupada said they really don't know the face of God. And they don't know many things. So in the Krishna consciousness movement, we are practicing Krishna consciousness. We are chanting every day. We are worshiping the deities. And we know that this will make us detached from this world. We will decrease the fever of our sex desire, of our material attachment. And we want that. Now, if you tell this to any non-devotee of Krishna, even if someone is a religious person, this is going to eliminate, eradicate, evaporate all your sex desire. I don't want that. I don't want that. Even for a religious person. And what do we speak for others? So they don't know anything about the spiritual life. They think a spiritual life is to have some moral values, to have some good behavior, that your son is not going to become a hippie, that he's going to college and get a good job and get a good marriage. That is, they think this is religious life, good moral code, not detachment, not developing love for God. It's staying home the entire life and being attached to family and sense enjoyment. This is religious life. Krishna explains in the chapter Demoniac and Divine Natures that the demoniac people, they don't know what should be done and what should not be done. They don't know what is right. If somebody renounces everything to serve God, That's irreligious. That's the Antichrist. Like I was doing Sankirtan one day, and the man saw A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. He said, what is A.C.? Antichrist? I said, no, it's not Antichrist. We are pro-Christ, pro-renunciation, pro-love for God. They don't know. And if someone wants to enjoy life eternally until the last moment, until the last breath, he's a very religious man. You see? Then they all get together, the priest, the family. He was such a religious man. They certainly went to heaven. So they don't have that understanding. So the next verse, verse 27 now. Is it there? Shri Muchukunda Uvacha Kubhavam Ihasam Prapto Vipine Girighavare Padhyam Padma Palasabhyam Vicharas Yurukantake. Shri Muchukunda said, who are you? When you wake up after four yugas, kicked by an unknown man, and then suddenly the cave becomes bright and somebody shows up, that's a natural question. Who are you? Who have come here to this mountain cave in the forest. You know, understand that Muchukunda, to have a good rest, he found a cave that was all the way up there in the mountains, a distant place, very secluded. And who will come to this place? That was the idea. Nobody will come here to disturb me. And he said, you have come here to this cave in the forest, in the mountain, having walked on the thorny ground with feet as soft as lotus petals. Now, he looked at Krishna's appearance and Krishna's lotus feet. He said, wow, this is so soft. Why did you come here, all this trouble? And who are you? And then, verse 28. Kim svite jasvinam tejo bhagavam vavibhavasu Surya Somo Mahendro Va Lokapalo Paropiva. Perhaps you are the potency of all potent beings, or maybe you are the powerful god of fire, or the sun god, the moon god, the king of heaven, or the ruling demigod of some other planet. So understand that King Muchukunda, he was a warrior, and he was actually hired by the demigods to fight on their behalf. So he was a very powerful warrior. And somebody walks out of nowhere in this cave. No, he could have thought, let me fight with him. But just seeing Krishna, looking at Krishna, he immediately understood, no, this is nobody to fight with. First of all, he's invincible. And he's not here to fight with me. Sometimes you see people or you meet somebody and you feel that this person is such a nice person. I remember once I had a customer came to my store computer doctor. This man seems like such a nice man, a nice man. And I did a lot of work for him, and somehow I charged the minimum charge. I didn't feel charged more. And he said, no, you did so much work. You should get more money. I want to pay you more money. I said, no, this is okay. No, here, I want to give you $100 more. He took a $100 bill in here. So no, I don't want to take it. So then he left, and I found a $100 bill on the floor. So I called him. I said, you dropped that $100 on the floor. Please, whenever you pass by, you can. I said, no, I didn't drop it. I left it there on the floor. I said, okay, all right. But he was such a nice man. I could just such a nice heart. You meet people that you feel this is a nice person, and you meet people also that you feel that. He's not a nice person. So immediately, when we ever come to face Krishna face to face, we will be able to recognize him by all the descriptions we hear in the scriptures. We were not going to be bewildered. This is not Krishna. We will know this is Krishna that is right in front of me now. These are all his qualities. He cannot be anybody else than Krishna. This is the Supreme Lord. So then the last verse. Verse 29. Manietvam. Now I'm going to read this and you can repeat. Manietvam deva devanam. Trayanam purusharshabham. yad badhase guhadvantam pradipa prabhayayatha manyetvam devadevanam trayanam purusharshabham yad badhase guhadvantam Pradipa Prabhayayatha. Anybody would like to read? Manyetvam devadevanam Rayanam purusharshabham Yad bhadase guhadvantam Pradipa pravayayatha Any of the Matajis? Manyetvam devadevanam Trayanam purusharshabham Yad badhase guhadvantam Pradipa prabhayayatha Okay, so the word for word meaning Manye, I consider Tvam, you, Devadevanam, of the chief of demigods, Trayanam, three, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, Purusha, of the personalities, Rishabham, the greatest, Yat, because, Badhase, you drive away, Guha, of the cave, Dvantam, the darkness, Pradipaha, a lamp, Prabhaya, with its light, Yatha, as. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. I think you are the Supreme Personality among the three chief gods. Since you drive away the darkness of this cave, as a lamp dispels darkness with its light. I think you are the Supreme Personality among the three chief gods, since you drive away the darkness of this cave, as a lamp dispels darkness with its light. Purport. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti points out that with his effulgence, Lord Krishna dispelled not only the darkness of the mountain cave, but also the darkness in Muchukunda's heart. In Sanskrit, the heart is sometimes metaphorically referred to as guha, cavern, a deep and secret place. And how deep and secret it is, isn't it? No. Every heart, somebody has something that nobody knows, only he and Krishna knows. Some secret deep inside. But how the heart becomes dark? See, we are eternal parts of Krishna. Mamayvanshu, Divaloki, Divabhuta, Sanatana. And we are originally completely pure. How does the heart become dark like a cave? What happens? No. So there's a verse, very nice verse in the Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. Verse 2 by Srila Rupa Goswami that explains what we can do that will make our heart dark. Now, I think many of you know this verse. No? Achahara prayasyascha prajalponiya magraha janasangascha laulyancha shabdhir bhaktir vinashyati. And the verse says, one's devotional service is spoiled when he becomes too entangled in the following six activities. Eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. Now, what is necessary for one person is not necessarily the same for another person. One time there is a dispute because one devotee said, Prabhupada said that brahmachari should eat 8 chickpeas. And another said, no, Prabhupada said brahmachari should eat 16 chickpeas. And all the Prabhupada said this. And then the matter was taken to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, should the brahmachari eat 8 chickpeas or 16 chickpeas? And Prabhupada said, brahmachari should eat as many chickpeas as they can digest. Because it's not the same for everybody. Krishna consciousness is not one size fits all. Yesterday there was a nice comment from Kish Prabhu at the end of the class. There was a discussion how sadhana is applied differently, or different people applied sadhana in a different way according to their condition, present condition. And at the end he summed up very nicely and he clarified that the Bhakti Vriksha program is very important because we can accept anyone at any level. Do you follow 3 principles? Great. Come here. Do you follow 2? Great. Come here. You follow 1? Okay. You follow half? No problem. Come here. You follow none? Come here. Can you chant with us? Recently, Bhakti Vikar Swami, he published a letter from Prabhupada saying that not everybody has to be initiated. Initiation is not for everybody. As long as they attend the chanting, they will become purified. So, but the chanting, everybody can do the chanting. There's no restrictions. It's just fun to chant and to dance. So, eating more than necessary is the first one. Or collecting more funds than required. Over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. Or working very hard trying to, you know, obtain things in this world that will all vanish when we die. There's no need for that. Talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. Like especially when we come to the temple. Temple is like Dharmakshetra. You know, it's a holy place. And when we come to the temple at least, we should talk about Krishna and matters related to Krishna. I remember the first Sunday feast I attended after I moved to Alatra. I was sitting there and a devotee came to sit next to me. And then, now this is my first Sunday feast, basically my first experience. And he said, you know, so many problems here. You should actually not be part of this. And he's initiated in the Prabhupada disciple. There's another place I can take you to. And I'm listening. I said, let me see what he has to say. So I gave him rope to hang himself, you know. So he kept talking and talking. And I looked at him and said, are you eating here, no? Yeah. So they cooked. Some great souls they cooked. So you're enjoying the food that they cooked. And you are coming here to convince me to leave the place they're maintaining? You should be ashamed of yourself. What kind of devotee are you? You know, he got the message. Never came to talk to me again. You know. But we come here to enlighten each other, to talk about Krishna. And we sit there on the Sunday feast. We should remember topics of Krishna. Not just talk about any mundane subject. There's plenty of time outside to talk about mundane subject. And even outside, we should not be talking about mundane subjects. But at least here, we should focus on talking about Krishna. Otherwise, we can risk destroying, making our heart like a dark cave. Who wants a heart like a dark cave? You know. And then, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them, and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. Now, I had a friend of mine, brahmachari. He used to say that he was a hard rock brahmachari. He used to wake up at 2 o'clock, and he used to memorize all the verse and attend all the program, but he was very offensive, constantly offending everybody. Then he disappeared and never came back. We don't follow just for following. The whole process of following is to please Prabhupada. You know? That's the process, to please. You know? I remember there's a pastime that sometimes devotees fast. And that's very good. So Hridayananda Maharaj was in Los Angeles once. And he decided that he was going to eat very, very little. And sometimes fast. And he was in that mood for several days. And suddenly they are walking with Prabhupada. And they passed through a place. There was one of those radiator heaters, and there was a big plate of prasadam on top of it. And Prabhupada looked at it and looked at Vidyananda Maharaj and said, "You eat it." So that's to please the spiritual master. He could have said, no, I'm eating very little. I'm not eating at all. No, you eat it. So sometimes the spiritual master says, "You eat it." So it's to please the spiritual master is the goal, not to do this or to do that. And then, associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. This is dangerous. This is very dangerous. That can make your heart completely dark. We have to be very careful with that. When I was working outside, for the first time I was working outside with karmis. Now, before I lived in the temple for 11 years, and then I was working with devotees for 2 years, and then suddenly I found myself in a big company. All karmis. And part of my job, I would take my clients to lunch. And I would pay with a credit card that was provided by the company. So the company would pay. But I was doing all that. And naturally, no, they were not vegetarians. And I felt really, like, confused. I said, "I don't want to do this." No. Even though the company is paying, I feel bad. And I went to talk to Sridhar Swami, our Sridhar Swami, who left his body. Because he was my mentor. For years before he left his body. He said, I really am having a hard time doing this. You know? And sometimes they joke, "I'm a vegetarian." They say that, you know, "I don't eat anything that has eyes." You know? And I said, "No, it's okay. It's not okay. Try to give them Bhagavad Gita." You know? Try to give them Bhagavad Gita. And then I got into a mood of giving Bhagavad Gita. Then I gave Bhagavad Gita to many important people, actually. Former mayor of New York, chairman of American Airlines, chairman of United Airlines, chairman of Starwood Hotels, many people that I met, chairman of Morgan Stanley in India, many people I met, I gave Bhagavad Gita to them because he inspired me, and that made my heart a little happier because I was feeling really bad just associating with those people. So it's very dangerous. Why? Because their goals are completely different. I was listening a program on NPR News 2 days ago about how they created the birth control pill. Wow, it's really demoniac, to say the least. It's really demoniac. This very wealthy woman, her idea was that a woman should be able to enjoy as much as she wants and not get pregnant. And we need to find a way to resolve this. That was her goal. And she even told her husband that, "You should allow me to enjoy with any man, and you should enjoy with any woman also. It's not a problem." So very low class. They think it is high class. And then she invested all her fortune to develop this. You know, it's very demoniac. They don't understand the laws of karma. So associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness is very dangerous. And being greedy for mundane achievements. Whatever we have to get, we will get. There's that nice pastime that Prabhupada was looking for a job when he was a married man in India. So he got this interview, and they wanted to hire him. And the man said, "Well, sometimes you may have to work overtime." I said, "Oh, that's not possible." "So why?" "Because in the evening I go to the temple. So if I have to work overtime, I won't be able to go to the temple." So he didn't get the job. He didn't want the job. He rejected the job. No? So we have to mold our lives in such a way that we can engage in Krishna service. Now I would like to talk a little bit about this, associating with people that have mundane mentality. Okay? In the purport of this verse that I just read from the Upadeshamrita, on the last two paragraphs, Prabhupada writes the following. "When human society gives up these elementary faults enumerated by Srila Rupa Goswami, Achyahara, Prayasya, Shah, and others, when we give up these faults, all empty will cease between men and animals, capitalists and communists, and so forth. In addition, all problems of economic or political maladjustment and instability will be solved." Just this one single verse. All this will be solved. This pure Krishna consciousness is awakened by the proper spiritual education and practice offered scientifically by the Krishna consciousness movement. This Krishna consciousness movement offers a spiritual community that can bring about a peaceful condition in the world. Every intelligent man should purify his consciousness and rid himself of the above mentioned six hindrances to devotional service by taking wholehearted shelter of this Krishna consciousness movement. Now, how do we associate with worldly minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness? I would like you to get me some examples. How do we associate? Tell me some ways we associate with them. Newspapers, mundane newspapers. Next. TV. Huh? TV, you turn on the TV, you have hundreds or thousands of people preaching to you anything and everything that's not in agreement with Krishna, and you are just sitting there passively listening to them. You are just sitting there passively listening to 100 or 1,000 people saying everything that has nothing to do with Krishna, everything that's against Krishna, and you are passively listening to them, and you think everything is okay. Next one. Tell me another way. Somebody else. Internet. Of course, somebody can say, but all this can be used for Krishna. It's true. But what we have seen, most of the time, somebody that's watching TV is watching very little of Krishna and a lot of something else because it's so attractive. I just want to insert a pastime of Prabhupada in TV. So, I don't know if it was Govinda Dasi or Jamuna. I don't remember. This pastime was told by, he left his body from Los Angeles, black eye, blue eye, Sudama, that they found a place for Prabhupada. I don't know if it was you, Govinda. And when they got to that place, I think it was Jamuna, maybe. Jamuna said, oh, this place is horrible. Prabhupada cannot stay here. We have to get another place for him. But Sudama stayed there while they were looking for another place. He stayed there with Prabhupada, and there was a TV. And there was a commercial on play on the TV, of a cartoon commercial with a washing machine. And Prabhupada had a great time watching that commercial. He was laughing and laughing and laughing. When the commercial ended, he told Sudama, change channel, find this commercial again. He wanted to watch the commercial again. So sometimes he had some fun. And also at the plane, you know, on a plane ride, he saw Charlie Chaplin. No, Charlie Chaplin. And Charlie Chaplin was very fun, and Prabhupada was a great time watching him. He said it was a very innocent humor. And actually, Charlie Chaplin left this world on the 25th of December of 1977, the same year that Prabhupada left this world. But Charlie Chaplin was older than Prabhupada. Yeah. So another example, I have some examples here. Eating food prepared by non-devotees. I remember when I joined the temple, we would not eat food that was prepared by non-devotees. Once we went on Sankirtan, traveling Sankirtan, and we could not cook anything, so it was one entire week of Ekadashi. You know, cucumber with cheese, lots of cheese, you know, I'm a cheese lover, so it was great. Cucumber with cheese, tomato with cheese, orange with cheese, sugar with cheese, everything with cheese and cream cheese. And then finally we get to the temple on Sunday, and it's, wow, now it's a great prasadam, and was a Kadashi day, by the way, you know? So, but we would not eat. No. And actually, I remember once the temple president, Ambujaksha Prabhu, was giving class, emphasized that we don't eat food cooked by karmis. No. And when you go on Sankirtan, they take some bread from the temple. And then somebody raised their hand, but Prabhu, we go on Sankirtan for 7 or 10 days traveling. No, there's no way to take enough bread with us, you know? So what happens when the bread finishes? What do we eat? You eat grass, but you don't eat food made by carnies. We would not eat food made by carnies. But now it's like a fashion. You know, why we don't eat food made by carnies? Because the heart can become like a cavern, dark. Because the food that they prepare, they add their consciousness to the food. And you don't want to know what is in their consciousness. It's not Damodarastaka. It's not Govinda. It's not Guru Puja. That's not what is in their consciousness. Now, speaking things that are not related to Krishna, going to movies, no, none of this can help us in our Krishna consciousness. Now, this life is very rare, and we got to embrace it. We got to embrace it. We don't know what's going to happen to us. Muchukunda wanted to sleep for 4 yugas. Why? Because he was told that you're going to see Krishna after 4 yugas. Wow. A lot can happen in 4 yugas. I can fall down. I can forget Krishna completely. Anything can happen. Put me to sleep. Okay, I'm going to stop here. We have just a few more minutes. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. If you have any questions, please.
This building, this temple in Toronto, I was there yesterday. Krishna Hare Krishna.
It's a famous Toronto landmark where slaves, it was a meeting point for slaves who had escaped from the States.
Wow.
In the days of slavery. And it's situated on one of the main arteries in and out of Toronto. And they have a big sign on each side of the church tower facing each way which says Hare Krishna lit. And this enormous temple room, which is probably the floor space is something like 10 times the size of this temple, and a ceiling in the clouds practically, and it's packed every Sunday. And Radha Jivan Prabhu was there on, he put the temple room to good use. He was there on Sunday. He made a presentation and collected $300,000 for Mayapur.
Wow, wonderful. Jai, Haribo, Mayapur, Temple Ki Jai. He was ahead of you, Param Govinda Prabhu. Yeah?
I was giving a very nice class. Srila Prabhupada in 10th Canto, 8th chapter, he made a very very attractive few sentences that attracted me a lot. That's why I don't forget it. That he says that if a devotee wants to have a relationship with the Lord and solve his problem, and if he follows the style that Vasudev and Devaki proceeded, and it may take three millennium, like Muchukunda did 4 millennium almost. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that then he called this Kalikala Namarupi Krishna Avatar. If somebody wants to serve Mother Yashoda, Prabhupada was comparing, instead of following Devaki and Vasudeva, if somebody wants to serve Mother Yashoda, can relish the parental mood, same in one life by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We are extremely fortunate. We should take advantage of it.
Thank you. You don't want to ask? Anybody else wants to ask anything? The Mataji is there. 3 hands went up.
I was thinking when you were talking about how Kalayavana was following Krishna, he would go towards Krishna, almost get to him, and then Krishna would run further. My mind immediately was thinking that, yes, as devotees sometimes were, you know, or should be, or I should be, like that running towards Krishna. And we know that sometimes we do really run towards Krishna, and then he's a little further away. And then we go again, and we think, oh, And then Krishna goes away again. And it's like that sometimes. We experience that we feel like, you know, maybe we're a little closer to Krishna. And just by his mercy, he goes away a little more just to increase our desire for him.
That's the mood of the six Goswamis. No, he go Vardhana, Pada Patali. They were always looking for Krishna. They, you know, that's the mood also that Prabhupada taught us. Always, Krishna is never there. We're always looking for him. Thank you. Anybody else?
Thank you, Prabhu. I just want to say that the class was nice, but most likely I appreciate all the reminders. Thank you.
I have a whole list of reminders for myself. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hari Bol.